ask him a question that he does not know. She tried to trick him, and so the two sisters began to throw a question at him that they knew he had no answer for. And he sat there, and not wanting to look like he was out of sorts, he just simply scratched his chin for a moment and pondered into the sky. And finally, one of the sisters said, "Just say you don't know. You don't know the answer." He said, No, I already know the answer. I know exactly what Dad would say." She said, "What's that?" He said, "Go ask your mom." So behind every good father today is a great wife. And I know many of you are blessed. I'm blessed to have my wife back home, thank God. As the TV dinners, we're not cutting it anymore. Amen. And then, of course, I'm blessed to have my two kids, Elliot and Lexi. I love them dearly, most of the time. And many of you occasionally came up to me this past year and said, "Man, I still think about you every time I get in the shower, you falling." And I said, "Thank you, I appreciate that." But my son and my daughter got me really good this year again. This whole quarantine thing, I think, has changed me forever. I don't ever want to stay home again. And I've had two of them by myself, and it's shaped my life in ways that I don't even know if I can quite express. But my daughter and son were downstairs, and my wife was upstairs sleeping. She had just come home from work and laid down. And I told my daughter, I said, "Listen, I want you to watch your brother and just, you know, make sure he doesn't get in anything." She said, "Okay, Dad." But the only problem I didn't think about, she was playing a game when I mentioned this. And so I don't know what part of that didn't quite resonate. But I went upstairs to pay some bills for about 15 minutes, and I was online. I was sitting there staring at the screen. I thought, you know, I have not heard anything downstairs for about 20 minutes now. I thought, man, my daughter is becoming a superb babysitter. She's doing a fantastic job. I mean, she's doing better than her dad did. Elliot was playing with his trucks when I left. I thought, man, he's down there having himself a time. She's playing her game. All is well in the Sandy household. Until that 20 minutes went by, and I thought, you know, as much as I trust her, I'm going to go downstairs, and I'm just going to check some stuff out. So I walked downstairs, and about, we have 13 stairs going down, and about the sixth stair, I noticed there was like this haze. A white haze. And at first, Pastor, I thought, you know, your preaching has been so amazing lately. I thought the Shekinah just showed up in a prayer meeting with my two kids right there in my downstairs. The Lord had arrived in my house. They're going to be prostrate on the floor seeking God. Nope, that wasn't it, Pastor. That wasn't it. I took another step and I realized this white haze was starting to get in my mouth. I thought, well, maybe Casper the ghost blew up downstairs. Disintegrated throughout my entire. I came around the stairs and I peered a glance into our living room, and there stood my son with no clothes on but his diaper, taking the baby powder. And my daughter just sitting there playing her game. And not wanting to yell for fear that I would die for waking my wife up. And realizing the spirit that had gotten a hold of my son was from my wife and not from her precious dad. I looked over, and as soon as he saw me looking at him, he just froze. Covered from baby powder from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And that little devil walked over, took that baby bottle, or that Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, and gave it to his sister, and walked over to me and said, "Dad, we've been bad." So every year, I don't know if God puts these moments in my life for you all to get a great day out of or what, but I wish he would pass this curse on to someone else. Oh, everything in my house was covered in white. I asked him, you actually see the video of this because we took it. I asked my son, I said, "Dude, were you bad?" "Yes, Daddy." "Should you get in trouble?" "No, Daddy." "Sissy was supposed to watch me." But I love my kids more than anything in this world, and they are so awesome. And I know many of you are blessed to have your kids here today. What do we think about our dads today? Pretty awesome, aren't they? Yes, amen. And we love and appreciate all of our dads being here this morning. If you could stand with me, my daughter gave me great advice one day when I was preaching a couple of years ago. She said, "Daddy, I got a favorite sermon of yours." And I said, "What's that?" I was so touched. She said, "It's the short one you preached." So today I'm going to give her one of her favorite ones. I'll be short today. I know many of you get to go and celebrate with your families here today. But Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. The Word of God says this: "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and after him there for a burnt and offer him there for man, I cannot read today. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." Now, I want to draw your attention, though, to verse 3. Just this very simple phrase in the very beginning that it says, that I think oftentimes we just read past it because we know the end of the story. Abraham didn't know the end of the story. But Abraham, and simply his actions are spoken of here in this very first little segment. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." Now that's not M-O-U-R-N, like mourning, like you're going to a funeral. This is morning as in 9 a.m. or some of you when you get up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, morning time, you know, get up. But the morning, you see, he didn't wait long for this. He wanted to obey what God had spoken to him. It was a charge from God in his life. And today I want to preach to you on this just for a few moments today in the morning. In the morning. If you'd set down your Bibles, just lift up your hands and ask the Lord to speak to your heart here today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence that I feel here today. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would touch every heart of every father that's here today and every heart that's here, Lord. Challenge us through your word this morning, I pray today. God, bless every man that's under the sound of my voice here today. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise before we're seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you today. You can be seated. When I was in junior high, we had a football coach who no one really understood. We kind of thought he was crazy, to be honest with you. All he did was yell and throw stuff. This is back before all this. You couldn't do this now, you know. But he would go crazy and practice on us and yell. But then on game day, he was so calm and cool and collected. And I can never understand how in the world this transaction happened. But I remember a couple of us one day in practice. We had won every game that season so far. We were about three quarters of the way through. And finally he was just going off one day. And we kind of started thinking a little bit too much of ourselves. And we thought, you know, why do we have to practice so hard every day? Because game day we win, and we don't understand why we have to do all these crazy things. We've done this play 1,000 times, why do we have to run it again? Why do we have to run that extra lap at the end of practice? We'd be out there in the dark and our parents would actually turn their headlights on the car just so they could get that extra half hour in of practice. And I thought, thank you so much for that, you know. But he would run us and make us do things over and over. And finally, one of the kids, Dare, spoke up one day and said, Coach, you know, why do you make us practice so hard? The game isn't for a couple days. And why do we have to put all this effort into this practice? And finally, he spoke up and said, because how you practice is how you play. You see, I'm learning more and more as a father that how you practice is how you play. I'm learning that Monday through Friday and actually Saturday is even just as important as what you do on a Sunday. Because so many times I have watched men live lives so well on game day. They can come into a service and lift their hands and worship to beat the best of them. And they can run the aisles, or they can get up and sing a song or do masterful jobs and the service and whatever they're asked to do. But it's the life of the practice, the Monday through Saturday, where there is no practice life, where there is no accountability, when no one's looking, how are they living? And how are they performing their duties? And see, that's the problem with our generation. We think as long as I appease the eye of a man, then somehow I will float by in my everyday where no one sees me. But you see, there is one who is watching you. There is eyes that are watching you. If you have kids here today, let me tell you, they're watching you. They're watching how you handle yourself online. They're watching how you handle yourself when someone cuts you off in traffic. They're watching how you handle the ups and downs and flows of life to see what gets under your skin. You see, that's why every day when we're not here in this building, we're still practicing for a day when God returns to take His church home. Well, Brother Sandy, how do I know if that's me? Well, I'll tell you. If you're the one that has to run in here and pray back through every Sunday, good chance is you're not living like you should Monday through Saturday. That's why you gotta have a walk with God and a step.
stand for God in a generation that's so easily moved and saying you don't need to live for God. You're wrong, because I'm telling you, I'm not just going through the motions, but I'm getting ready for a day when the Lord is going to call His church home. My mother used to say it to me all the time. There is no dress rehearsal for the rapture. There is no practice session for the rapture. There is no getting ready for the rapture. It's either you're practicing now or you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it one day. And I'm looking for some men at Faith Worship Center who said, I'm going to leave my family. Here only is for the Lord our God is one Lord. Here only is for the Lord our God is one Lord. We're going to stand on the Word of God this day. I need to calm down. My grandfather was very adamant with me about this, what Abraham was dealing with. Because, you see, to understand his backdrop, he had waited for this child. He had gone through a lot of stuff, and I ain't got time to deal with all that today, but he had waited a long time. This was a promised child, and now, here all of a sudden, he is faced with a dilemma. God, I waited all this time, and there's a lot of debate on how old Isaac was at this point, from 16 to 25, whatever it was. He was still his baby boy. And here he was looking at Isaac, and the Lord is asking this one thing. Hey, Abraham, I want him. I want him back unto me. What? Are you serious? This is mine. This is something promised. I want him back. Oh, the pain Abraham must have endured, knowing the fact of such a high request. But you see, there's something that amazes me, because the Bible doesn't say in the morning when he gets up, he says, you know, let's go back home and let's kick up in the lazy boy and let's just settle down for a few moments. He didn't say, oh, let's go back and get some pizza and then I'll think about this, Lord. You know, I'll consider this. And I'll think this over. This is quite a thing to ask of me. This is a lot. You know, this kind of hurts a little bit. And so I wasn't expecting this, but that's not anywhere close to what Abraham does. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's early the next morning that Abraham says, Lord, if that's your will, if that's your will, I'd rather be in your will than in my desire. I'd rather be in your hand than in my wants any day of the week. I'll take your will any day. You know what? I tell you what, I may have told this before and I can't remember. When I came out of high school, I was offered a job making $50,000 a year, an 18-year-old boy. I went home. I was so excited. And I told my dad and mom, and they were happy for me, but they weren't really happy. Because they knew my plans were to go to Bible college. And for a couple days, he let me talk about it, and I thought, man, this would be sweet. I can go out of here. I mean, they were going to pay for all kinds of stuff for me, part of the car and everything else. And I thought, man, this is a job I got to have. I was so excited. Bible college went out my mind. And all of a sudden, I went one day and I said, Dad, I said, I got a question for you. I'm not really sure why you're not excited about this. He said, Josh, I'd rather you make 50 cents an hour than you to be out of the will of God. I don't care how much that job offers you. He said, as far as I'm concerned, you're supposed to go to Bible college and you're supposed to be there, and that's the will of God. That's how I feel. He goes, but I'm going to let you make this decision on your own. I tell you what, conviction got so deep a hold of me. I went into that boss and I said, sir, I thank you for this opportunity. I said, but I'm going to have to pass. And he looked at me like I was insane. I looked at myself like I was insane. He said, you can't be serious. He says, the money, I can get, possibly a little more. I said, no, it's not the money. I said, it's the call of God on my life. I can't accept this. He said, what? I said, no, you don't understand. It's something that doesn't make really much sense to you. But I'm telling you, I'd rather be in the will of God for my life. He looked at me like I was insane, but I'll tell you what, I won't regret that decision one day in my entire life, because I knew if I had a hold of the will of God, I was going to be happier there than I would ever be in any amount of money. Can I tell you, man, don't you settle for lesser things. Get in the hand of God. Get in the will of God. And hold on. Hold on to the will that God has for your life. My grandfather always read this scripture to me over and over. And he said, son, if you get this in your heart, it will forever change your life. It was Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, everyone say all. Say all like you mean it. All these things shall be added unto you. My grandfather used to take me and he said, son, I want you to know something. He said, if you want a wife, don't leave the church to go find one. He said, but stay in the church and you'll get the wife you want. He said, if you want a job, he said, if you need money, he said, don't leave the church chasing it. He said, stay in church and God will find it for you. He said, if you have a bill that you can't pay, don't run out trying to figure out a way to settle that up. He said, no, just hold on to the will of God, because it will be added unto you. Can I tell you, man, we got to anchor ourselves to the will of God, because as long as we're holding on to this book and this word, I promise you, it will be supplied in your life in due season. As I look at my wife today, I think how blessed I am. Amen. Come here, Elliot, come here. Come here, buddy. When I look at this little terrorist, come here. Come here, see daddy. Come to daddy. Come to daddy. When I look at this little boy, come here. Come here, come see me. Come see me. When I look at this little boy, you don't know how close I was to losing him. In that hospital, when we came out, we spent 8 days in an ICU because his sugar dropped to 5 and his little body was shaking. And I remember the nurse came and grabbed him and ran him down to the ICU. And I laid my hands on his little body that was trembling in that little bed. And I thought, Lord, I need you, Lord, to touch him. And you know what? I didn't run out and go, you know what? God did this to me. I'm going to leave the church. I'm going to walk away from him. It was because I was anchored in something that all of a sudden the Lord met me in an ICU room. And all of a sudden, his sugar started coming back where it was supposed to be. Why? Because I had a hold of the hand of God where the Lord reached down and touched my son. That's why today we can look around this room and see the blessings of the Lord, of what he's done in your life. Can I tell you, it's time that you get anchored in something greater than this world could ever give you. In a time where things are being torn down, where principles are no longer present, when they tell you to say whatever you want or do whatever you want, hear this preacher this morning. We need men who are not anchored in their own lust and desires. We need men. We need men who are willing to take a stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I'm going to ask a musician to come. I'm closing. I told you I'd be short. Years ago when we went to Youth Congress, I think Sister Jess was with me at this. Were you with me in Indianapolis? With my dad? Probably. She don't remember. She slept since then, right? We went to Indianapolis, and Brother Scott Graham preached a message about this. And as I was studying this week, this kept coming back to my mind, so I feared the Lord wanted me to say this. But there was an illustration he used, and I want to use it for you this morning. In Pompeii, when the volcano in Italy began to erupt, people, masses began to run and flee for their lives because of the volcanic ash that began to resonate down upon a city and destroy everything in its wake. Buildings were collapsed and the gates were destroyed, and all these beautiful monuments and structures that had been built collapsed under the weight of the ash and the lava that were flowing through. But years later, as researchers would go in and archaeologists would go in to view the ruins, they would begin to uncover what was quite a sight. Because of the molten ash that had collapsed upon the people, many of them, their forms were left there, embedded in that ash for the world to see. And what they found was awfully, awfully terrible. When you see some of the images, you can go online and look them up, that the images of these people who were literally trying to run for their lives. There's a dog that's trying to run, but you can still see his body where he was in the motion. Moms were grabbing their children and laying on top of them, trying to protect them from the ash and the lava that was coming into that area and forever laid in motion in that spot as the ash would take their lives. Men were trying to run outside of the city, or one man even was reaching back to grab for what he thought was worldly possessions and trying to grab the last remaining money he had as he would run, only to die as he was reaching back. But the one that got me was the soldiers. Because still standing at the very gate that they were told to hold, they were unmoved. Still standing there. Not one step of trying to run away, but they were anchored to a position to hold the gate that their commander had told them to hold. You know, today our world is upside down. People are looking for answers and trying to find hope. And you know what I'm finding more and more is people want some stability in their lives. And where better to find it than a church that's been built upon a rock? But until they ever get to come into these walls, all they have is you and me to watch. We are their stability. We are their lifeline. We are their hope right now to look to and say, what are they doing in this? How are they acting? If you're still holding strong, I promise you, you're having a greater influence than anything in this world by taking a stand right now. And so all you fathers today, I want you to stand with me. All you fathers in this house, if you'd stand. Can I tell you, as the head of your home, as the head of your home, you need to be the one who leads your family. And I know on Monday when you get up and you're hitting that 5 o'clock alarm and it's going crazy and you're thinking to yourself, I'm so tired. Turn that into a morning of prayer. Pray over your kids. Pray over your wife. Say, Lord, lead me this morning to a world that doesn't know you, to a world that's rocking and reeling right now. Because I promise you, if they find you still at the gate, God charged us. He said, I want you to go forth and preach this gospel. I want you to be a light to a dark world. And you see, this morning now is not the time to turn around and reach for lesser things. But now it's time to be a soldier. Now it's time to hold the post and say, I don't care what comes. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I'm holding my post. I'm anchored. I'm standing in the will of God. I'm more happy here than I've ever been, and I'm not going to settle for anything lesser in my life. If all across this house, I know, because this pandemic, I don't want to bring us all this on, but I just wonder if some men could lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to be that soldier today. I want to be willing to stand in your will, even though it's something I don't understand. I may feel like Abraham today. You're asking me, Lord, to give up something I love, but Lord, I'm going to do it willingly. I'm going to do it willingly because it's something I want to do in this house. If we could just lift our hands all across this house, there's a sweet spirit here right now. Maybe you've been looking something you shouldn't have been. Maybe it's time you reflect in your life and say, Lord, cleanse me out right now. Cleanse me out right now. Cleanse me, Lord. I know I haven't been the man I should, but Lord, I'm going to be everything that you've asked me to be. I'm going to stand at the gate. I want to stand here this morning as Pastor comes right now. He's going to lead us in prayer. Why don't you just lift your hand, point it towards a father in this room right now, around you today. If you can lay your hands on him and pray for him right now, do that all across this house as Pastor comes right now today.
As we pray over our fathers right now and our grandfathers, Father, Father God, Father of fathers, we ask you to lay your hand upon them and give them courage to stay in that post, Lord, in that position, Lord, at that gate. Lord, I believe daddies are the gateway to the home. Lord Jesus, let there be an anointing of fire and passion that comes upon us. Lord, a revelation of how crucial we are to what happens in our home. Right now, Lord, put an anointing of prayer upon our dads. I call an anointing of prayer down upon our fathers, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, give us discernment. We claim discernment in a topsy-turvy world. We claim discernment, we pray. Help us to determine between the sweet and the bitter, between the dark and the light, between righteous and unrighteous, between godly and ungodly. Give us stamina. Give us perseverance, Lord, in our heart of hearts, because sometimes we're the last ones standing. Dear God, help us, I pray. Give us a ferocious appetite for the spiritual. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands with us right now? There's a sweet touch of God. I'm going to open this altar. I wish our dads and grandpas could join me down here for a few moments just to sort of like give ourselves again to God for a few moments before we go out. We have hot dogs and hamburgers and enjoy fellowship. But and us walking to the front is a way to telegraph, to text mail New Jerusalem. I heard your voice today, God. I didn't just hear a sermonette for Christianettes. I heard your voice today. I heard you talking to me today. Oh, and I received that, Lord. Would you believe that? Would you lift your heart and hand and say, I received that, Lord. I know you had my number. You knew I would be here. That wasn't wasted. Hallelujah. You don't waste anything. Praise God. Oh, Father, thank you for the prayer support from moms and kids, Lord, even the prayer support of our kids. Yes, indeed. Wonderful Jesus. I'll never forget this, and I'm going to tell you what, I don't think you've ever preached her better, Josh Sandy. I don't think you've ever preached her better than that. If you have, somebody will have to remind me because so appropriate and so in tune. Of course, a great daddy, but all in his own right. And I sat down with Ember, whom I miss about every day, I guess, if I was to say the truth. Sometimes my wife says something like that, and I'll say, well, let's talk to her right now. Remember when I said to Brother Cornwell, my pastor, I said, Brother Cornwell, when we, you know, you can tell it when you're preaching that when people are listening. And when I'm preaching, I can tell when people, you can feel it. And I said, Brother Cornwell, when I talk to Ember, it feels like she's listening. And I loved his answer. He said, well, why wouldn't she be? Just like, no study, no, just, well, why wouldn't she be listening? She got her eternal life at the new birth. Why wouldn't she be listening? Oh, so thank you. Thank you for that, Pastor. Praise God. So I sat there and I thought, let's do a little inventory. Let's let Ember grade me. Ember, how am I doing? As a daddy, I think we were sitting in the kitchen. 819 Chester Place, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And she's got this big, Ember had a sense of humor that all the way from here to Tallahassee. And if she got tickled, she's like me. She's off. She's just off to the races. And am I doing okay? Am I doing okay, Ember? And she didn't hardly even know what. Well, of course you are. Something like that. You know, well, am I? And I began to ask her questions. And I was absolutely flabbergasted that she gave me high marks. But I think also in her heart of hearts, she knew that she had a daddy that wanted to constantly improve and be better. I feel that about that. I feel that about the ministry. I feel that about people. Just want to keep on growing. Do you feel that way? Lift your hand up. Hey, Jesus, help me this week to maybe start something new. Like it might be family devotions, something brief. Something just brief around the dinner table, maybe at the end of making groceries disappear. Just a few moments of spiritual leadership. Whatever. It might be that you lay some profanity on the altar and say, you know what, enough of that. I don't want my kid to talk like that. I'm putting that on the altar today. It might be something else. It could be anything. It could be that you want to be a godlier person. And one temptation or one addiction or whatever it would be. You say, Jesus, I can't do it in myself, but by the power of God, I ask you to take this chain off of me right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray together, take this chain off of me right now. Take it off. I rebuke it. I rebuke that addiction in the name of Jesus. Deliver me, God. Deliver me, I pray. I can't do it in myself, but God, take it off of me. In Jesus' name, I pray. And fill me, Lord, with your love again, with the love of God. Fill me with love for my family, God's love, spiritual, Holy Ghost love. How many of you remember that? For the love of God is shed abroad. Once I was teaching on that, I think it was right here, and I said, shed abroad, all love. I thought of my cat. Hair. Shed abroad. I have bought lint rollers that big. That big, that big, that big. One was that wide and had a pole on it. I would take the lint roller and work it over the bed where my cat sat. Because she shed her hair abroad. Like I was spreading asphalt on a driveway. Have mercy, Lord. Everywhere. Sits in my little chair in my office for a few weeks. I go look at it and it's a black chair. It looked white. Let his love be shed abroad. I'm asking the first lady to come. Thank you, Brother Sandy. That was amazing. Don't you feel like you got fed and challenged? And come on, guys, let's get up on our perch our position. Amen. And be strong. Brother Bill, being strong in the strength of the Lord. Amen. So glad you were here. What a precious Father's Day. Most of all, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and carrying us on eagle's wings.
Lord, I'm so thankful today to you, our Heavenly Father, and for our natural fathers. So thankful you made us male and female. And I thank you that you put in our men, our fathers, strengths that we girls don't have, protection. They provide for us. They're faithful, God. They become an example to us in so many ways. I pray a special blessing on our fathers and our grandfathers today, fresh strength, fresh anointing, understanding in these troubled times. Cover them with your great grace. And we thank you for the gift of the men and the fathers in our lives. What a wonderful gift you have given us. In Jesus' name.
You know what I think would be beautiful? How long has it been since you give your daddy a good word? I mean, a specific good word. Not like, oh, you say to your wife, oh, you look like $1 million. But like, wow, do you ever more look sharp in that outfit? Specific. When compliments get specific, they get dynamic. When's the last time you saw? I'm going to ask you to stand. And if your dad's in the building, and if he's not, send him a text. Get to him, send him something today. But would you stand? Praise God. And if your dad or grandpa's in the building, would you walk over there and just give him a good word about something? Build them up. Build him up. Praise God.